Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest. His name is Eric Scheidler. He's the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, and he's on today to discuss a new campaign they had recently by which about a million or so highway commuters saw their banners reading, "Abortion Takes a Human Life." Eric, welcome back to the program. So great to have you on again. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back with you.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about your campaign and what were the results?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're tasked with as a pro-life movement is keeping this issue in front of people's minds. And I think we've been very, very successful at that in the United States in particular. You know, this is an issue people don't want to think about. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have uncomfortable conversations with their family and their friends. You know, they say that about one out of every four women has had an abortion. That means almost everyone knows someone who has, but they don't know that they do. It's an issue that people just don't talk about. And so we want to get conversations going. We want to get people thinking and rethinking the issue of abortion. And that's what National Pro-Life Bridges Day was all about. We recruited 50 different leaders all over the country, north, south, east, and west, to go out on busy highway overpasses with some very sturdy and very safe banner kits that we put together for them, with banners that say, "Abortion takes a human life." A highly visible message, one that we know people respond to pretty positively. It's it's simply a scientific fact, an objective fact that abortion does take a human life. And phrasing it that way, we find, is the way that people are most likely to actually stop and think about it, really take it seriously. And so that's what we did. We went out to these 50 locations in Waco, Texas. It was 103 degrees heat. Here in the Chicago area, we sat in driving rain for 2 hours. But it was clear from the response of the drivers, everybody could see the signs and was reacting very positively. And based on the reports we got from our teams all over the country, we reached at least a million highway commuters. It may have been as high as 1.7 million passengers and drivers on highways all over the country on June 22nd.
Okay, now, first of all, you said one out of four women in America about have had abortions. Does that statistic take into consideration the fact that there are repeat abortions? So in other words, let's say there have been 60 million abortions. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean, it does not mean, in fact, 60 million American women have had abortions, because we do know the phenomenon of repeat abortions. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well, you know, repeat abortion is becoming more and more of an issue. We find that once a woman has said yes to abortion once, she's more willing to do it again. And a very high percentage of women going for abortions have already had one in the past. Multiple abortions account for very many women's abortion experience. But yes, the figure of one in four, I should clarify, though, that'll be one in four women in her entire lifetime. So at any given moment, it isn't that high, because there are women who haven't, you know, become sexually active or haven't, you know, had that decision to face at all. And you hear other numbers from the other side. They like to claim one in three women has had an abortion, and that's not true. It was trending that way back in the 90s, but abortion rates have really gone down a great deal. And I think in large part that's because of the consistent pro-life message that's been out there in the public square, keeping people thinking about it, to kind of circle it back to a campaign like this. But speaking of numbers and demographics, I did some number crunching looking at some census data and some information from the Centers for Disease Control and the Guttmacher Institute, which is connected to Planned Parenthood and does abortion research. If we had a million people seeing our signs this past Friday, that means that at least 5,000 women considering abortion, maybe as many as 10,000 women considering abortion at that moment, passed by one of these signs. And we know how much women who are facing that decision, thinking about it, are often praying for some kind of a sign. They want anything to move them in the direction away from abortion. It can be someone standing outside with their Bible praying at an abortion clinic that makes them turn around and go home and never even walk through the doors. It could be a billboard that they see. It could be almost anything. And in this case, we were giving people the opportunity to think seriously about the abortion they're considering themselves, with our sign saying, "Abortion takes a human life." So we may not ever have confirmation this side of eternity as to what kind of impact these signs had on those women, but we know, based on the percentages, that there's a very good chance we save some babies from abortion simply by being out there with this message.
Good. Let me ask you this. You mentioned earlier that there are definitely women who have repeat abortions, and I just want to hear your response to this. If somebody said, well, if abortion's so bad, how come there are so many women that have repeat abortions? In other words, it can't be that bad. And what's your comment to that? I'd be curious to hear.
Well, you know, abortion is something that women turn to in desperation. No woman really wants an abortion. And yet, you know, we all know that when we've done something wrong, one of the ways that we deal with the guilt and the shame that comes with that is to do it again. In the issue of abortion, you see this in the case of, you know, mothers or aunts or sisters or friends who will, you know, talk a daughter, a granddaughter, a niece into getting an abortion because of the abortion in their own past. Because when they can convince somebody else to do this thing, that makes them feel better about it. So we also know that the impact of abortion on a person's psychology will often take years to really manifest itself. And women will be going through difficulties, and in many cases, men too. They suffer from depression, from suicidal thoughts, from illness, from discomfort around children especially. When the anniversary date of the abortion comes around, they'll get agitated, and they don't know why. And it's not for years that they finally reckon with what they've done. I mean, I've seen this myself. Out on the street, I've seen elderly women come up and start talking about an abortion that they had when they were young and that they haven't thought about, they haven't talked about, but it's been eating away at them.
Wow.
So I don't put a lot of stock in, you know, the fact that people will repeat abortion as far as, you know, how wrong it is. I think you have to look at the long term and the stories of women who've had multiple abortions and how they grieve for every single one of those children.
Hmm. All right. Recently, the United States Supreme Court had an interesting decision. In fact, on this program, I discussed with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute and with others, possibly even yourself. California had this law, which now, thankfully, the Supreme Court has said is unconstitutional. But basically what it said was that if you have one of these crisis pro-life centers, you have to actually advertise where abortions are available and even put the phone number of the local abortion clinic. Well, you know, imagine if, you know, you had a law which mandated, okay, every Catholic church has to advertise, okay, there's a mosque down the street and here's the phone number of it. And, you know, and the Baptist church has to advertise for the Jewish synagogue or whatever. I mean, it was just crazy. Or you know, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you know, they have to advertise, oh, okay, just for the other side, Joe's Bar is down the street and here's the phone number. Boom.
Well, it's a blatant example of forced speech, government forcing people to talk and think a certain way, to present, you know, ideas that they don't even agree with. And it's critical that we defend that right to hold our own opinions and not to be forced into communication. I'm very grateful for the Supreme Court ruling that came down today. But I can't help but remember another ruling that came down exactly 4 years ago. The same date, I remember, because it was one of my son's birthdays. And it was a ruling in favor of striking down a buffer zone in Massachusetts that was prohibiting pro-life outreach to women at abortion facilities all over Massachusetts. That was a unanimous decision. So 4 years ago, we had a Supreme Court that was willing to unanimously defend freedom of speech. Fast forward 4 years, and now we have a court that's splitting. Five justices ruled correctly that you can't have the government forcing people to present an idea they don't agree with or promoting something they're strongly opposed to. But there were four justices that were willing to compel the speech of pro-life counselors at pregnancy centers, of pro-life doctors and nurses. So as much as I applaud this ruling, I think we really need to pray very hard that our nation will wake up on this issue of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, because we're in real peril of seeing those rights kind of disappear as people are more and more willing to silence their enemies.
I should timestamp this discussion with Eric Scheidler, and that is, this is being recorded on June 26th, 2018, for later broadcast. So that's interesting. So you're saying that 4 years ago, the Supreme Court was unanimous in saying, hey, free speech rights, period. We don't care, even if you don't like that particular speech. Now the decision was more like 5-4, where this should have been just a clear-cut case, and it should have been unanimous also. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a unanimous decision in this. And so we'll be watching very closely. to see how the court rules in future cases of this sort, because our First Amendment rights really are hanging by a thread right now. Mm.
All right. What else would you like to say about the campaign that you had recently to show these banners all across the country? Do you anticipate doing something like this again in the future?
Well, we do. I mean, as reports came in from leaders across the country and we began to realize we'd reached over a million drivers, it was just, you know, we were dancing on a cloud, because that was our goal for the year, and we've achieved it already. We're not even halfway through the year. So we're going to be preparing more of these banner kits that we provide for leaders, recruiting more leaders across the country. Many of the folks that we worked with on this recent campaign are already making plans to get out there on those highway overpasses in their own communities again later this month and into next month. So we're going to see more and more of this kind of messaging take place. What's really exciting about this is that such a small number of people, really just 250 people all around the country, 50 teams of 5 people, were able to get their message out to over a million Americans simply by being willing to go out and do it. So this is a real example of the impact that the individual can have when you decide that you're going to do something about this issue of abortion and take an active role in trying to defend the lives of unborn children.
You know, we were just talking a moment ago about the Supreme Court. Obviously, it's the Supreme Court of January 22nd, 1973, that really kind of, in some ways, foisted this problem on us as a nation, in the sense of saying, okay, abortion is legal, and through Roe v. Wade and the companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, effectively through all 9 months of the pregnancy, boom, abortion on demand. That's the law of the land. And a lot of people have said, well, deal with it. It's a settled issue. Here we are all these years later, you know, 46 years later or so, and it's not, or 45 years later, and it's not a settled issue at all, is it?
No, it's absolutely not. And I think that's an amazing accomplishment. And I think sometimes we forget to kind of step back and look at where we've come from. The fact that, you know, over 40 years later, there are people willing to go out and stand in the burning hot sun and in the pouring rain and hold pro-life banners up to share this message with their friends and neighbors, with their fellow community members. That is a real testament to a movement that is strong and succeeding. We have incredible odds against us. So much money is in the abortion industry, and there's such a bias against unborn children and in favor of all the things that lead to abortion, the kind of irresponsible sexual behavior and that whole culture of lust that surrounds us, that we're still out there delivering this message and having an impact and doing well in the polling on abortion and getting pro-life laws passed and having abortion continue to be an issue in every political campaign. That is a real testament to first of all, to God's grace, because he's the one who makes it possible for us to be there, and to the fact that so many people are continuing to say yes to that call to take an active role in the pro-life movement.
And you think about the other side and the kind of resources they have. Even not only do they make a lot of money through the abortions, but they even get a lot of taxpayer dollars, you know, up to the tune of about $500 million every year.
That's right. We have to really be honest with ourselves about how difficult this battle is because of the forces that are lined up against us. I mean, Planned Parenthood alone is a $1 billion organization, and they're able to hire the best marketers. Right now they've got this very talented musician, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote that incredibly brilliant musical about the life of Alexander Hamilton and did the music for some Disney animated films. I'm getting texts and emails from him all the time supporting Planned Parenthood.
Oh.
You know, this is a very popular figure, and Planned Parenthood is able to enlist the support of guys like that. And it's a real heartbreaker. Because Alexander Hamilton was actually born under very difficult circumstances to a single mom and would probably have been aborted if Planned Parenthood were around then.
Wow.
So that's pretty ironic. That's the kind of disconnect, and that's the kind of power that we're facing, and yet we're still doing it. We're still saving babies every day outside abortion clinics. We're still getting pro-life legislation passed every session all around the country, and we're continuing to win people over to our side. We just have to keep fighting.
Eric Scheidler, thanks so much for joining us. ProLifeAction.org for more information. Thanks, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Same here. God bless.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.